Good morning.
Roto experts.
To the end zone.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's time for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Hello and welcome back to the Roto Experts Daily Podcast. Here we are today. January is almost over. It is Wednesday, January 30th, 2019. I am Scott Engel, the managing director of rotoexperts.com. I am the king. I am fantasy, and thanks for being back with me as you are every day. I'm watching and noticing that people are still listening and following a lot. So I really appreciate all of you, you know, everybody who listens out there, the regulars, like Kenny from Philly, Don from the Seattle area, Dave Whitney, who's been talking to me a lot on Messenger about the show. I really appreciate each and every one of you that continue to tune in. And don't be shy. I want to hear what you want me to talk about on this show. If you have any certain questions you'd like me to answer, I'd like the show very much to be interactive. So if you are indeed listening, and I see a lot of you still are, and I really appreciate that, make sure you reach out to me on any social media platform that you have access to me with, at Scott E. Roto X on Twitter. If you have any subjects you want me to discuss, questions you want me to ask, if you have any rants that you want to get off your chest, you know, this is a podcast, but it's interactive. You're a part of it, and I'm glad to be with you again, and thanks for being with me again. So a lot more football to cover today as well. Not much going on in the world of baseball, really, at all. All right, so I guess we can just gloss over that real quick. You know, the Marlins signed Neil Walker. Neil Walker was very useful fantasy baseball second baseman when he was with the Pirates. Had some good seasons with the Mets, but got cut short by injury. And you know, now at 33 years old, it seems like it's winding down for Neil Walker. The Marlins could play him all over the diamond. You know, a guy who's maybe still got a little bit of pop, but really didn't do much with the Yankees last year. And I guess going to Miami is a way for his career to slowly end here. I got to say, though, having covered the game a lot over the last decade, Neil Walker is truly one of the nice guys in the game. I wish he would have landed in a better spot where maybe he would have got a chance to contend for a World Series like he did last year. Truly one of the good guys in the game. I think that's the kind of guy that you'll see stick around the game afterwards. I could see him becoming a broadcaster. Just very, very good with the media, very good with the public. But Miami is where careers go to die for a lot of guys. You know, I've seen it for players like Mike Cameron, etc. If you're at the Marlins at the end of your career, well, you're pretty much at the end of the line. Along the line with the Marlins too, but I saw a report this morning that maybe the Reds might be interested in JT Realmuto, but like everybody else, they're gonna have to pony up a lot of money if they want to get a shot at JT Realmuto. The Marlins, as we saw last year, are just willing to sit on JT Realmuto until they get whatever it is they want, which seems to be a lot every time that we've seen a published report. But, you know, he's getting closer and closer to spring training. For me personally, the Super Bowl marks the official end of the football season and on the fantasy calendar, and then a lot of thoughts turn to baseball for those who play. But, you know, there's also a thought process of a lot of fantasy football players just don't care about fantasy baseball. And that means that they're looking next to the NFL draft and free agency. And, you know, we're here for those of you who think like that. NFL, 365 coverage now on rotoexperts.com. And you can check out my newest article on rotoexperts.com, where I'm looking at some value running back types to consider during the offseason, especially for you dynasty and keeper league players and those of you drafting very early in best ball. Something to check out, guys. I think I may be being overlooked or undervalued as we head towards the 2019 fantasy football season, which begins for a lot of you right as the Super Bowl ends. Actually, it began for a lot of people right after the regular season ended. People already doing mock drafts, some best ball formats, etc. As soon as the season ends, people already want to draft for next year. And for a lot of people, fantasy football is around the calendar sort of hobby. So, you know, we're doing that. A great new article on Davis Maddock. When you take a look at the Super Bowl, about the breakdown of the passing games, comparison of both the passing games. We have the latest of the fantasy football top 100 for 2018 right now on rotoexperts.com, 40 to 31. And 30 to 21 will be on the Fantasy Football Frenzy today. And leading up to 1 to 10 at the end of the week, right before the Super Bowl, as Super Bowl week continues on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, but revealing 10 more every day on the Fantasy Football Frenzy and on rotoexperts.com. And it will be the big, big reveal on Friday on the Fantasy Football Frenzy with Corey Parson, Jim Day, and Chris Ventra. So that gives you something to look forward to. The countdown continues. Check out all the installments, all of the first 7 installments right now on rotoexperts.com. Now, as we look towards Super Bowl 53, the big news coming out from Sean McVay saying that Todd Gurley is going to be a big part of the game plan for Super Bowl 53. He could have been Belichickian against Belichick and maybe not really said anything, but you know, now the Patriots know, and now we all know that maybe that Todd Gurley is finally trending in the right direction here. I think we were all wondering about what his role in Super Bowl 53 could be, but hey, maybe it's coach speak too. I thought that too, that he could play a big role, but what does that really mean if you dig into the words and, you know, try to read between the lines there? Is that maybe he could still play big role, but he might still be part of a timeshare. So I don't think this definitely means that Todd Gurley will be the featured back for sure. I think I lead in that direction from this quote. But what if Sean McVay is playing games and a big role is still a timeshare with C.J. Anderson? Because I don't think any of us know for sure how bad this knee was, because I don't care what anybody says. If Todd Gurley was anywhere near healthy, he's not playing a secondary role in the NFC Championship game when the Rams are trying to go to the Super Bowl. So Todd Gurley, it would appear from this quote, is heading in the right direction, but how much is he still at 100%? We really don't know. This will affect, I think, how the Patriots game plan and obviously how the Rams game plan. If Todd Gurley is there, I really believe that's what Bill Belichick wants to take away, is their most valuable player, who is Todd Gurley. And that means loading up maybe more against the run, having the confidence that Stephen Gilmore can cover Brandon Cooks, and that they can double up maybe on Robert Woods, or safety help with Robert Woods, or maybe have Gilmore cover Woods and safety help with Brandon Cooks over the top. You know, you never know what the Patriots are going to do for sure defensively. I know the default is that we'll think Gilmore is on Cooks, but you've never seen anything for sure. You know, we've seen Bill Belichick be the master of adjustments, especially in big games. And if one thing isn't working, he's going to change to another. He's not afraid to come out and experiment with anything. So We'll have to wait and see here. I don't think anybody knows for sure, especially if you're making those fantasy football playoff or DFS lineups. I still think you're taking something of a risk with Todd Gurley, although it seems like less of a risk now, you know, that McVay's coming out and saying this. But he says, look, he's going to have a big role. A big role is still part of a timeshare. He didn't come out and say he's going to get to be the featured back and get all the carries. We don't know that for sure. C.J. Anderson has done real well down the stretch and in most of the playoffs. Did not play well against the Saints. I think he's starting to peter out there. C.J. Anderson had a nice run, but he's not a star running back. I don't know if that kind of momentum could be kept up. C.J. Anderson's going to be a free agent. I think he's going to vie for a starting job somewhere, but I think he's still got a lot to prove, even though what he's done down the stretch in most of the postseason has certainly helped his outlook. So I'm not going to assume anything based on what Sean McVay says. Fantasy players will certainly react right away and say, oh, that's great. I expect Todd Gurley to be the featured back, but I'm still not going to assume anything based on Sean McVay's comments. You're listening to the Roto Experts Daily Podcast. Here with Scott Engel, I am the managing director of RotoExperts.com. I am the king. I am fantasy. And got other NFL news, which got me thinking a lot. The Packers are leading reportedly towards bringing Jimmy Graham back for the 2018 season. And what a big disappointment. We all know Graham is. He used to be one of the elite fantasy tight ends. Was right up there with Rob Gronkowski every year when we drafted, and he fell precipitously over the years. It seemed and it hit rock bottom last year when he was just not involved in the offense, and he only caught 2 touchdown passes a year after catching 10 in his final year with the Seattle Seahawks. Graham was a true superstar when he was in New Orleans Saints. You saw his basketball background. It seemed like he could make every possible catch. And like Rob Gronkowski, he was just such a defensive nightmare for defenses. But things changed when he got to Seattle. In the first year, it seemed there like it was a lot of bumps. And he seemed like he was being forced more into the offense. It wasn't quite on the same page with Russell Wilson. Didn't really fit in that offense. He seemed like he was being forced into the mix, much like Percy Harvin was, and it just didn't come naturally. Then he suffered a major injury. He came back kind of impressively from the injury and started to show his old self, but then he deteriorated again to the point where he just wasn't a factor outside the 20-yard line at all. And was really when you watch Jimmy Graham, like in his last 2 years in Seattle, he never seemed like he could really deal well with extra physical coverage, and it seemed like a lot of physical defenders were able to actually throw him off his game. But he became this type of specialist in the red zone for the Seahawks in his final year. When he caught 10 touchdown passes, he became like that basketball player again. He just started posting up defensive backs and defenders, and would catch jump balls from Russell Wilson. They said, okay, you know, this is the role we're going to play Jimmy Graham in, and it worked. He really didn't do a whole lot outside the 20s because it seemed like injuries were also catching up with him as well, and he just wasn't the same explosive sort of pass catcher than he was in previous seasons. And then he goes to Green Bay and he totally doesn't fit in the game plan. Now, when you look at the Packers for 2019, they have a new head coach, which is hopefully going to fine-tune things offensively, because under Mike McCarthy, while he had Aaron Rodgers, it was very, very clear 2 things: that the tight end was never a big part of the passing game, and the running back was always secondary, no matter how talented he was. Eddie Lacy came into the league like gangbusters before he fell off very quickly. And even then, Eddie Lacy never lived up to expectations, especially fantasy-wise, because the Packers will always always put the running game as a secondary option to the passing game. I can't recall a tight end that's really been relevant in Green Bay since Mark Chimura. If I'm forgetting anybody, correct me here, but it certainly wasn't Jermichael Finley. He was here and then he was gone because whether it was Aaron Rodgers not liking to throw to the tight end or Mike McCarthy just, not designing it well enough, although I think it was the former, no tight end has ever flourished under Aaron Rodgers. And Jimmy Graham, he was invisible on key downs very often. In the red zone, he wasn't the factor that he was in Seattle. And hopefully the new coaching regime here is if they're going to elect to keep Graham, who they have to pay a roster bonus to, but I guess they don't want to eat the dead money on Jimmy Graham, they're going to have to get him more involved again. Because I don't know what exactly is going to happen in the receiving game for Aaron Rodgers. A big reason why Aaron Rodgers struggled last year is, even the very best quarterbacks need to be surrounded by some decent playmakers. And outside of Devontae Adams, there were really no decent, respectable playmakers in the Green Bay passing game. And Jimmy Graham was supposed to be one of the answers to the issues there. And he wasn't. And then you had Geronimo Allison maybe being a guy that they could count on. They felt early he got injured. And then he had to turn to rookies. Marquez Valdes-Scantling was here, and then he was gone. Equanimous St. Brown was never really a factor. I don't know what the Packers intend to do during the offseason. I can tell you one thing. After drafting all those rookies last year at wide receiver, I think they drafted three of them. I'd be very surprised to see them dip back into the draft. Are the Packers a team that could really dip into the free agent pool here and maybe get another wide receiver to help Aaron Rodgers? I don't know if Randall Cobb's going to be back or not. And if he is, they certainly can't count on him. The guy is always getting hurt. I think Randall Cobb is done. Jimmy Graham's looking like he's done, but if the Packers are going to bring him back, I think they might try to force him back into the flow of the offense. And, new coaching regime is saying, look, this is a guy that you might have to look for more in the red zone. Caught 10 touchdown passes 2 years ago. Why can't the Packers do the same thing that the Seahawks did in 2017 and make this guy a specialist? If he's not capable of doing stuff outside the 10, outside the 20s, well, find a role for Jimmy Graham. And to me, when I see reports that the Packers are going to hold on to Jimmy Graham, I get a little bit more optimistic about his outlook for next year, that they're going to try to really get him back into the flow of the offense. That certainly doesn't mean I think he's going to be anywhere near a top five fantasy tight end for next year. I did. Now, look, right now I'm working on my initial rankings, my early rankings for rotoexperts.com, because, like I said, we're now NFL 365 days a year. So right now I've worked on my initial set of rankings. I'm going to kind of tweak them, and you're going to see them very soon on the site. So that's something that you should continue to look out for. And when I did my initial ranks, Jimmy Graham wasn't even in my top 20. So here's like a preview of what I had. I think you obviously know who my big four is going to be. Obviously Travis Kelce is number one. Number two, Zach Ertz. Number three, George Kittle. Number four, O.J. Howard. And after that, I was kind of struggling a little bit about where to put Hunter Henry. If I know Hunter Henry's healthy coming into next year, fully healthy, it's really hard to not put him in somewhere in the top seven. And I was just struggling to think of, or just going over it a lot in my mind, I don't think struggling is the word, is do I rank him over Eric Ebron and Jared Cook? And I think right away, with Jack Doyle coming back, that Eric Ebron's probably not going to score the amount of touchdowns that that he did this past season when he caught 13 and led all NFL tight ends. So I have to rank Hunter Henry ahead of Eric Ebron. And Jared Cook, as good as he was this year, you know, what really is the scope of good when we talk about Jared Cook? Because tight end was such a bad position that Jared Cook would basically turn out to be a top five, top six sort of guy. But at the same time, he was incredibly inconsistent. And I don't know where he's going to play in 2019 either. He's one of the top two tight ends on the free agent market, along with Tyler Eifert, who we all know can never seem to stay healthy at all. So consistency is an issue for me with Jared Cook. I believe that if Hunter Henry is healthy, and look, he was able to come back for the playoffs, that'll be a lot more consistent than Jared Cook. So Hunter Henry right now is my fifth, with Eric Ebron sixth, and Jared Cook seventh. Like I said, you know, when I was talking to somebody in the chat room on the Fantasy Football Frenzy who was saying he doesn't see Jared Cook going anywhere. He loves Oakland, and they have the cap room. Well, what does love in Oakland make a difference? They're going to be out of Oakland very soon anyway. And I think Jared Cook, at 32 years old and in free agency, wants to go somewhere that he could win. And I think Dallas is a great fit, maybe the top fit for a guy like Jared Cook. You could say, Scott, they have Blake Jarwin there, but it's not like they can't run two tight end sets with Jared Cook and Blake Jarwin. And as we saw, I think Blake Jarwin is ready to be a number one tight end in this league in terms of a pass catcher. I think he might make a nice number two. I think, you know, if Dallas wants to spend a little money to help the receiving game, and I still think they should, I think that's the one piece that they're missing over there is a really big target and somebody in the red zone, because as Dallas fans will, and people who follow the Cowboys will tell you that, you know, this team struggled in the red zone, and they would love. I think Dak Prescott would love a big target like Jared Cook, and I think Seattle's also a great landing place for Jared Cook as well. They're missing that one big pass catcher as well. So Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson, you know, could certainly use a guy like Jared Cook, and if he was to go to either Dallas or Seattle, I think it'd only boost his outlook. Number eight, Evan Engram. Like to see what the Giants are going to do at quarterback. I think they're a very good position, like we were talking earlier this week, to get Drew Lock. Whatever quarterback they have there, though, whether it's Eli Manning or a rookie, Engram should have a bounce-back season. Jack Doyle, number nine. And I think when you're starting to, you know, the more you go down the list, the more uncomfortable you get. If I get anyone outside of the top eight, I'm going to be uncomfortable, I think. Jack Doyle's number nine, but he kind of splits with Ebron. You know, we saw early in the season before Jack Doyle got injured and lost for the year that they could really hurt each other. That Doyle was more of the guy outside the 20s, and Ebron was more of the red zone guy, so I think they had an established role. But in any given week, they could, with game flow, they could veer away from that. So with Ebron being a real threat in the red zone, it makes me more uncomfortable about Doyle heading into next year. I'd probably rather have Ebron because I want it for the guy who's going to give me the sixes instead of the guy who needs six catches to build up to one touchdown. So I'm more comfortable with Ebron, but depending on where Jared Cook lands, I might rank him ahead of Ebron. I might rank Engram ahead of Ebron. I could be looking at, as I tweak my ranks further, and this is just initial draft, maybe ranking Ebron 8 and Doyle 9. You know, this is an embarrassment of riches for the Colts next year. At tight end, they'll have T.Y. Hilton. They'll have two tight ends back, and maybe they go after another wide receiver in free agency, and that passing game becomes more dangerous. And Andrew Luck, to me, is clearly the number two guy at quarterback in fantasy football heading into 2019 season, because I don't believe this team is or should be satisfied with having guys like Dontrell Inman and Chester Rogers really be their number two wide receiver. It'll be interesting to see if the Colts make a play for another pass catcher here in free agency. I'd like to see what they're going to do here. I think they should bring somebody else in to basically bolster the passing game a little bit more. I know some people have said, well, you know, that's why Le'Veon Bell's a great fit because he's such a great pass catcher. But I don't think they need it with Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines. Maybe they don't do anything here, and Nyheim Hines plays a much bigger role. You know, like I said in my article on rotoexperts.com, that Nyheim Hines is a guy that he was very, very inconsistent. In the first five games of the year, he was very involved in the passing game, and then in the next five, he wasn't at all, and he wasn't much down the stretch. The Colts have the most salary cap room in the NFL right now, so they can go get another pass catcher. They really can if they want to. I think you know maybe getting a big type like even like a Terrell Williams, you know, might help them as well because T.Y. Hilton's not a big receiver. He doesn't catch touchdown passes. You know, maybe having another big target across from him like Terrell Williams. And to me, Terrell Williams is overrated with the Chargers. But I think depending on where he goes next year, and I mentioned New England is another landing spot, I think his fantasy value could rise and he can be more involved in an offense in another good situation there. So I'll be very interested in what the Colts are doing in free agency because they have the most cap room of any NFL team. David Njoku, number 10. I think Njoku was overrated this year. Didn't really produce nearly as expected as in most games, but there's still some upside there. I have Chris Herndon at number 11. I think Sam Darnold immediately took to him as soon as he came to New York. I have Rob Gronkowski as a temporary placeholder at number 12 because if the Patriots win this week, is it really over for Gronkowski? That's really the big question on everybody else's mind. Delanie Walker, number 13. He's 35 years old, coming off of a major injury, so not sure about what his outlook should be. Jordan Reed at number 14. And I may move him down because I have Trey Burton right behind him. Trey Burton was a big disappointment this year. Jordan Reed can't stay healthy. They're two guys I'm very skeptical about heading into next year. Number 16, though, is a guy that I really like and may move up my ranks when I finalize them because this is just an initial draft of what I'm doing for rotoexperts.com, is Ian Thomas. No matter who the quarterback is there, Ian Thomas was a guy who showed flashes in the preseason, and while Greg Olsen is out, and I think he could be a key receiver for them on passing downs, no matter who plays quarterback. After him, Kyle Rudolph, who somehow ended up as tight end 7, a great fantasy Super Bowl week, but a big disappointment overall. Austin Hooper, then Jalen Samuels, and my top 20 was rounded out by man Vance McDonald, but I also have to consider Jimmy Graham just didn't make it. Dallas Goedert didn't make it either. Tyler Eifert's outside the cusp because I don't know where he's going to sign, and I don't know where his role is going to be. And Mark Andrews is just outside the top 20. He's somebody I'm really going to have my eye on when you look at the young tight ends because Andrews really showed some flashes with Lamar Jackson. If you remember that 63-yard catch and run that he had late in the season to guide the Ravens to a big win. I really like Mark Andrews being more involved in that passing game in 2019. So the two guys I'm really going to have my eye on for next year, Chris Herndon. Anybody who's listened to me or you know, read my pieces, knows I'm big on Chris Herndon, and I'll be big on Mark Andrews too, as we continue to head to look towards next season. But again, this is just an initial draft of what we're getting together on RotoExperts.com, And I'm going to be tweaking my rankings again this week as I continue to research here. And obviously things are going to change when the NFL draft happens. But everybody wants to see a rankings real early. You know, they want to see them as soon. They want to see rankings and mock drafts as soon as the football season ends. For some of you, like I said, you know, thoughts are turning towards fantasy baseball right now. Pitchers and catchers not reporting yet, but getting very close. And we're so incredibly close. And Manny Machado and Bryce Harper remain unsigned. There was a whole hoax about Bryce Harper with the Philadelphia Phillies this past week. But still, the last reported teams appear to be in the top running for his services are the Phillies, and maybe he possibly returns to the Nationals. I wonder if a mystery team will swoop in and maybe take Bryce Harper. We've heard the White Sox and the Padres linked to Manny Machado, but it just doesn't seem like Machado can quite come to terms on a deal with the White Sox from what all the published reports indicate here. I know there's some Yankee fans that are holding out hope that they get Harper or Machado and swoop in at the last minute, but I think that whole line of thinking was really killed when the Yankees signed Giancarlo Stanton. The Yankees were smart, though, in doing that, though. They everybody was waiting for 2019, it seemed, in the Bronx there. You know, a lot of the fans were waiting for 2019 and said, that's going to be our year. A lot of money's coming off the books. We'll go after Bryce Harper. But the Yankees, to their credit, they were aggressive and said, let's not wait till 2019. We get a chance to get Giancarlo Stanton. Let's go ahead and do it now. And I think that was very smart on their part as well. The three or four fans who follow the Marlins in Miami, they got very upset about Derek Jeter and Group's vision. But I think you have to look at it as, you know, why not break up that team? That was my first reaction, because despite all the star power they had there, they were not making the playoffs. You know, they remind me of the Braves from about a decade ago, where they had all these stars and they couldn't go deep into the postseason. Those Braves from, like, you know, early in the 2010s, they had a lot of stars. They had, you know, great guys like Justin Upton and Chipper Jones at the end of the line, and Tim Hudson and Brian McCann and Derek Lowe and all these stars, but yet they turned out to be the Chargers of baseball when they couldn't win a big series. And they broke that up, and, you know, look what the Braves have done. They've done an excellent job. The Braves have a great front office. They've done an excellent job of rebuilding themselves. And, you know, they're going to be a contender again this year. The Braves organization, I've always had a lot of respect for them. They always find a way to not stay out of contention for too long. But with the Marlins, you know, that team wasn't making the playoffs at all, despite all the star power they had. Giancarlo Stanton didn't play in a Major League Baseball playoff game until he put on a New York Yankees uniform. And, you know, there are a lot of ups and downs for Stanton. It was a very rough start in the Bronx for him. But, you know, now he's got a year under his belt there in the bigger market. And with the Marlins, you know, the few fans that they have were very upset with the direction of the team. A lot of people follow the Marlins felt like they didn't get enough for Stanton. And now all of a sudden they're holding out for this ransom that they want from Real Muto. But this team is in a rebuilding sort of process. And I think it's a rebuilding sort of process that really nobody can see from the outside, because the product they put on the field is quite bad. And, you know, if this team is a contender again, I don't know what kind of vision the Marlins have, but it doesn't seem like anything's happening anytime soon. But all of a sudden, they've put their cleats down and they've said, we're not going to accept anything less than top dollar or top return for JT Realmuto. So, yeah, look, it'll be fun to watch the Braves again. A lot of exciting young players as well. The Nationals were, you know, another team that's never lived up to expectations. And if they move on from Bryce Harper this year, it'll be interesting to see, how deep they can go in the postseason. There's another thing about Bryce Harper that a lot of people don't bring up. Bryce Harper and the Nationals have never, ever won a playoff series. They've never won a playoff series. So, that's something to look at with the Nationals, too. They've underachieved for a long time with a roster full of standout players. You know, the Nationals, on paper, have always looked like a great team, but they do nothing when it comes to the postseason. And it'll be interesting to see if the Dodgers still have another bullet in their holster when it comes to free agency, because the Dodgers have gotten to the World Series twice and lost. It seems like they just can't get over that hump. If A.J. Pollock stays healthy, I think that's a nice wild card for them. And looking at what they've done in free agency, they've certainly built a lot of depth. So the Dodgers are going to be a very interesting team to watch. Lots of interesting storylines here as the 2019 season approaches. And for those of you who still play fantasy baseball and have followed Roto Experts for baseball for a long time, even though we're doing NFL 365 on the site, we're going to point you to some great places to go for fantasy baseball content. You know, we've been doing this for over a decade now, and we have some great partners and friends in the fantasy industry that we're going to point you to get the best of fantasy advice. But you also can continue to come to this podcast for fantasy baseball advice. So I'm still going to be playing fantasy baseball. I'm still going to be covering the major leagues. So you're still going to have a Roto Experts home to go to for all your fantasy baseball information and analysis. And I'll be glad to answer all your questions. I got a question the other day about what I thought of Jaime Candelario going into 2019. And I think Jaime Candelario is he's more appealing in OBP leagues than he is in batting average leagues. I think he's very, very raw in terms of striking out and plate discipline, et cetera. But there's a lot of raw power there. I picked up Jaime Candelario in Tout Wars last year, and he was a very nice find for me. There's a lot of raw power there. If you're playing in a straight 5x5 with no OBP, I think you have to be ready for the drain on the batting average. But I think Candelario is a very young guy who's only going to get better. They're going to get the at-bats for him. So if you're looking for some power and you can take a batting average hit later on, I think Tyler Candelario is a guy that that you can really target in those later rounds or pick up for just a buck or two or a few and, get some nice power there. If you play in an OBP league, that's where I'd lean more towards Tyler Candelario. But I thought he was one of the more intriguing young players of 2018, and I'm looking forward to watching that kid and seeing him make progress in 2019. Thanks for listening to the Roto Experts Daily Podcast. We will see you again on Thursday, and don't forget to go to Roto Experts for all your latest off-season dynasty, best ball, and keeper coverage.